How are we doing? Good. Hey, I just want to read out a psalm today. And just it's a short psalm, so you'll be relieved. It's short, but it's just full of goodness and full of great pearls of wisdom in that. So Psalm 124, and I'll read it out. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive and their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word and we pray as we look at one of your psalms, Father, that you'll speak to us all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anyone here ever felt trapped? Stuck? Caught in a situation? I think we all have, haven't we? In fact, let's turn that on its head. Has anyone here never in their life felt trapped by anything? No, there are no hands. It is everyone. We can relax. We are not individual in this respect. We're all part of the same gang. We've all, at some point or another, felt trapped. I was thinking about movies. Where would movies be if they couldn't write about situations where people are trapped by circumstances or other things working against them? Where would Pinocchio be? Or Cinderella? Or Snow White? Or The Matrix? Or the James Bond movies, you know? What are some other movies? Hansel and Gretel, Shrek, 2001, A Space Odyssey, To Kill a Mockingbird, Romeo and Juliet, King Kong, Jaws. It would go on to change a generation's sense of fear in entering water and prevent them. Prison Break, Death Race, Dune, and probably every horror and suspense movie that's ever been made. It is a powerful thing, the sense of being trapped. And so what I want to do is have a look at this Psalm 124. Now, I'm aware that there's conflict overseas happening, and this is in no relation to that or what's happening with that. I just was reading a psalm the other week and thought, this is a great psalm. And as I started doing some more research on it, I thought, this is what I'm going to speak about. It's a fantastic psalm. With regards to the Gaza, we continue to pray for all people, that God protects all people there, regardless of who they are and what their affiliations are, that God will move, that God will meet people, touch them, and that he will keep people safe and protect them in Jesus' name. So Psalm 124, and it starts with, if the Lord had not been on our side, and then it says, let Israel say. Now, in reading about this, it's down as either a song, or some of the reading says the first couple of verses were probably said, and then he would say, let Israel say, and they would, as a nation, quote the rest of the psalm. So I thought to myself, this could be good. We are not Israel, but we can pretend we're Israel. And there are good lessons here. So why don't we have a little go? So I'll start and I'll read the first two verses and we can all read from verse 3. So if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when the people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared up against us, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by his teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And at that point, we would erupt with jubilous cheers and screams and dancing, and the band would go wild. So it's a group, it's quote, started by an individual, and then all of Israel links onto it. This is a psalm for Israel, a psalm about the goodness of God. If you forget everything else about the psalm, remember this. God is good. God is great. God is powerful. And in this day, he was looking out for Israel. And today, he's looking out for everyone. And he still loved everyone outside of Israel and was still looking after them. It's not either, you know, an exclusive deal. He's always searching for people who will love him back and walk in his ways and walk in his ways and love him back. Verse 2, and I'm just going to crunch through this just nice and gradually. If the Lord had not been on our side and attacked us, 3, they would have swallowed us alive when the anger flared against us. The fact is that Israel is realizing here that if God had not have intervened, they would have been exterminated at that point. And it likens it to a flood that would have swept them away. You see, we weren't, back in those days, they weren't all fluffy like today where they just go and do enough and then say, let's have peace and let's all love again. Back in those days, they would dominate harshly. And so when armies would come in, they would come in aggressively. And they weren't interested about what the media said or what was PC. They were looking to dominate in every way. And they would wipe things out and people out. Verse 4 says, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. This refers to, in the reading I've done, about the, if you imagine a riverbed that often is dry or just very light in terms of the rain it gets, and then suddenly rain comes and a powerful torrent comes through. The picture I got in my mind when I was reading about it was the Manawatu floods. We were living in Palmerston when the Manawatu floods happened, and they came in February, which traditionally I've always heard people say is a very settled period of weather. The weather kind of right up to Christmas and around that period can be a little bit unsettled, but then it kind of settles out. And I remember in the, I think it was the 70s and 80s, and that droughts that would happen right through that period. Rain was not on the radar. But suddenly in the Manawatu floods, rain seemed to come out of nowhere. And it came through so fast out of the hills and with such gusto, and the ground was dry and just couldn't absorb it. And it just created floods. And I remember seeing it on TV and you know, you kind of get images in your head, but it's not till you actually get in the car and start driving around that you actually realise how bad it really is. I remember I was with the police and I did some training across in Dannevirke, and I needed to drive across there. I couldn't go the direct way because all the roads were closed, so I kind of weaved through Paitua around some back roads and it made my way through. But as I'm driving through around Calgary on the back of Palmerston, I'm driving along and I notice there's a pile of dead cows piled up. I notice there's some helicopters with ropes on the end of them, and they're flying dead cattle to and then stockpiling them. And then as I'm driving a bit further, I look across and there's a tree with a cow in the tree. The cow is not eating grass. The cow is not alive. It's been swept away by a torrent and it ends up in a tree. It gave me a picture as to how bad the torrent could really be. And this is what they're talking about here. A torrent with great force to sweep them away and kill them. Verse 6 says, "Praise be to our Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth." This is the use of, and all of this is imagery. This is a picture painting imagery of wild animals. The fact that wild animals could come upon them and tear them apart with their teeth. And David, who this psalm is said to have written it, you will know that lions and bears were animals he was familiar with. In fact, when he was asked, how much will I get for killing that mighty, naughty Philistine called Goliath, and he was taken to Saul. Saul said, "You're just a boy, you know. You're not up to it." What did David say? He said, "When I was young, I killed lions and bears. They would come when I was a shepherd boy. They would come and steal flock, and I would chase them off when they had grabbed the stock. And if they attacked me, I would grab them by their hair and I would dispatch them." Nice way for killing them. Lions and bears. He knew about lions and bears. So when he's writing about being torn by their teeth, this is probably, you know, could well have been what he's thinking back to. When I was a shepherd's boy, I saw lions and bears, you know, the job they could do to livestock. And that this is the plan that was for Israel. The thing is, David had a slingshot. And he knew how to use it. And so he knew that when he talked about the enemy having teeth, he also knew that with God's help, God knew how to dispatch giants. And in this case, he knew how to dispatch an army and give Israel victory. Verse 7 says, "We've escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped." I wonder who David was referring to there, thinking back as a boy. He could have been thinking back to Saul. The fact that Saul was hunting David and his men often, and there were times where David hid in a cave. David would set traps and he was trying to catch them, trying to trap them. In a different psalm, Moses also mentions the fowler's trap. And he quite possibly was thinking back to himself, thinking back to Pharaoh, that he had trapped the Israelites in Egypt. And the Amalekites who attacked them when they came out of Egypt and were in the plains. Spurgeon, in the 1800s, wrote a sermon that I didn't know about when I started writing this, but I read it the other day, and it's actually called "The Fowler's Trap." Phenomenal sermon, and he highlights these things, and he said, you know, they were referring to people, but they would have been aware that the ultimate enemy was not people; it is our great adversary, the devil, Satan, because he is behind all of this. The whole idea of traps is deception, and he's looking to deceive us. He's looking to deceive us in all kinds of ways. And even when he doesn't manage to deceive us, he will still try and attack our mind to deceive us that way as well. He'll deceive us with thoughts, with lies, with clever lies. 99% truth, 1% lie. They're the best lies, aren't they? The lies that you think, that sounds like truth, but there's just a little bit of error, just enough to slowly divert, slowly start achieving its goal. We need to be careful who we listen to. Once the trapper has his prey and the trap springs, it's often too late. The good thing is that verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Satan is our adversary, he's our enemy, but God is our ever-present help in times of need. Jesus has won the victor's crown. Jesus has won the victor's crown. Isn't that good? You know, the Bible says that demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? I was thinking about that. I was thinking, I wonder why. Well, maybe it's because every time we mention Jesus, that they remember that they managed to trap him. Every time we mention Jesus, they remember that they managed to get him to a point where he was crucified. Every time we mention Jesus, he died. But every time we mention Jesus, he rose again. Every time we mention Jesus, he defeated them for once and for all. Every time we mention Jesus, he is there for all times as our Savior. And every time we mention Jesus, reminds them that their time is coming to an end, that they're going to be judged, that they are going to be thrown into the pit. So if I was them, I would be worried, and I would not like hearing the name Jesus. 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 It just is not a nice name to them, but a great name to us, isn't it? It's a name of victory. So I've got a couple of learning points or thoughts, just thoughts. And the first is this. Challenges will come against you, but God is always on your side. Challenges will always come, but God is on your side. We live in a place called Earth, in this world, and things go wrong. Challenges come. But God is always journeying with us through it. I've said often, he doesn't wave a magic wand. He doesn't take away stuff, because we don't actually grow and learn through that stuff. But he walks through it with us as a loving father, as a guide through the lighting our path as we walk through Psalms 23. Because he loves us. Thought two. Some challenges will be spiritual and others natural, because we live in a fallen world. So everything is not spiritual. Sometimes we do get spiritual attacks, no doubt about that. The forces of evil are real, and they are wanting to destroy us, but not everything that happens in life is a spiritual attack. I've known people who have said, I'm under spiritual attack, because they got caught stealing at work and fired. That's not a spiritual attack. That's called justice. You know, or someone who, I remember I was policing, this young guy is driving along the car and he's bought flowers for his girlfriend and they fall over. So he's driving, he reaches over to the passenger seat to pick them up and blow me down, he drives into a car, a parked car. It wasn't a spiritual attack. He was not operating safely. Sometimes in this world, things happen. We live in a fallen world. And sometimes things are just happening around the place as well. Sometimes bad stuff just happens. It's not always spiritual. But again, God walks through us with these things. Thought three. In war, battles are won and lost, but the ultimate victory goes to the victor. Our battle is spiritual, and the ultimate victor is Jesus. He has won the victor's crown. So things may look bleak, and I was thinking back to that that speech that Winston Churchill made back in the Second World War, and it's not in my notes, so I was just thinking about it this morning. You know, when he says, this is not the end, it's not the I think it's the beginning of the end. It's not even the end of the end. It's like the end of the start or something to that effect. And you know, he's the thing I love about him. He just hangs in there through the whole war. You know, he just would not give up. He had Germany, you know, invading all across Europe and things not looking good for England, but he was a force that would not give up on the fight. And I think we need to have a little bit of that mongrel in us, that we just don't give up when we encounter situations that are tough. We say God is able to get us through, and that is not being false, because the fact is God is able to get us through. All we're doing is reminding ourselves, but we need to remember that the devil will come and try and trap us and sow lies and thoughts into our mind that will not be helpful and will draw us away. And we need to be stubborn and just, you know, absolutely determined in the fact that we will not give up. We will walk with God through every situation. So point four is journey with God through whatever you endure. Walk with him. Choose to walk through it. I've been in situations where I've been going through pain and I haven't wanted to go through it. It's been like, let me out. Stop the car. I want to get out. This is annoying. This is painful. I don't want to do it anymore. But I can learn so much more if I stay in the car and listen to God as we journey through it, and he explains some stuff to me and I get some learning from it, and I allow him to shape me. So it can be actually really, really rich. And the richest people I know are people that have been through those journeys and they've allowed God to shape their lives. And when you come across those people, there is something about them that you know is rich, that they carry on their lives and is in their world. And you just know that they've been through something that is powerful and they walk through God with it powerfully. So, my last thought is this. God is our help. God is our help. When we go through tough stuff, look to God. Give ourselves to God. And I'm going to start with Psalm 124 again. Who's ready to say it with me? If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us. Isn't that good? Yeah. Woo! So good. Imagine an entire nation standing together saying that with gusto and conviction. A powerful psalm. Next time you read one psalm, Psalm 124, remember this. God is on your side. He is with you. He will save you from calamity. I'll pray. Father, we thank you that you're a good God, that you love us, that you journey with us. And you journey with us through whatever we go through. We thank you that you use trials and difficult situations to shape us and form us and rub edges off and knock sharp corners and make us better. Make us more refined for you, that we will be more effective for you. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you don't send us off on a journey alone, but you come with us in that journey and walk with us through it. I pray for everyone this week that you'll be with us. Help us to be lights to this world, voices of calm and life in people's ears, and hope in their situations. Father, in Jesus' name. As always, we're here to pray. If you have things that have kind of cropped up in your mind, things you've been thinking about, stirred up, we're here to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Saviour, if you don't know him as someone you can call on when you go through the mill, then we'd love to have a conversation with you about what that means and pray for you. Because the cool thing is that he can be someone that you can lean into and rely on and walk with through whatever you go through. So feel free to come and talk to us. Have a great week. As always, take God out and share him around.